Let's just commit the time of the ministry of the word to the Lord. Father, thank you that you're such a good God to us, that we can indeed confess that you have given us more than we could ever deserve. Lord, we thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, as we have just sung, it never will ever lose its power. That blood, O God, was shed for each one of us. Because of the shedding of his blood, O God, our sins have been removed. And we have been reconciled to you, Father. Father, we thank that because of his blood, we can stand in your presence, clothed in robes of purest white. Lord, we can come boldly to the throne of grace. Lord, because of his blood, O God, we are accepted by you. And so, Lord, this morning as you have ministered to us, Lord, we ask you to continue even through the ministry of your word. Lord, you might continue to touch us by your spirit. You might continue to speak into our hearts. You might continue, O God, to set us free. And so, Lord, I pray that even through the ministry of your word, O God, that you continue to set your people free. You continue to heal your people. You continue to show your people your glory. Father, I pray that in all that is done and all that is said, that you will be glorified, that Christ and Christ alone will be seen. Lord, I pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. Talking about challenges of godly leaders, today we want to do another part in that series. I'm calling it Growing Through Loss. Growing Through Loss. You know, in churches like ours where we believe in the power of God to do miracles, we believe in God's supernatural intervention, many times we don't take time to talk about loss. And so as I was before the Lord this week, I felt as leaders, each one of us, we are leaders, that when we experience loss, we should be able to understand that there is a way in which we can grow through that loss. And so that's what I want to share on this morning for a little while. Let's turn to the book of Job. Job chapter 1. And verse 1 says, in the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. So we're talking a little bit about Job this morning and about others similar to Job who have been through difficulties, not necessarily the same extent as Job. But the fact is, the scriptures introduce him as a man who was basically a righteous man. A man who was upright, the Bible says. A man who was blameless in the eyes of God. God is the one who said this, that he's blameless. A man who feared God, a man who turned away from evil. I mean, what more could you want to describe this man, this really the servant of God, this man of God? And so the Bible calls him a righteous man, and people recognized him as such throughout the community. He was the one who would speak on the behalf of the poor. He was the one who would stand in the gap for those who were experiencing injustice. He was that type of person. But he was also a man who was blessed by God. He had a family, 7 sons, 3 daughters. He had lots of livestock. And when you read it, you realize, he was wealthy. So in those days, a sign of God's blessing was also a sign of material wealth. And so he was materially blessed. And it was God blessed him according to even what the devil says. So here's a man who's going through life and things look good. Things look great on his side. Verse 3 says, after it mentioned all of the sheep and camels and yoke of oxen and donkeys, it says he had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East. I mean, what a commendation. I mean, today when you go to funerals, they say he was a good man. I've never heard anybody say really that he was a great man. They usually say he's a good man. But the Bible says here of Job, not only was he a great man, but he was the greatest of all the men there in the East. I mean, what a commendation. So he's righteous, he's blameless, he shuns evil. God is blessing him. He has servants, and he's the greatest of all men. I put here he was well respected by people around, and I gave some scriptures there where they talk about him in high regards. So he was respected by his community. He was a man who understood prayer and sacrifice, and so he interceded for his children. Even as grown adults, he was continually praying for them, as many of us have come to realize that you never stop being a parent. No matter how old they get, you still have to keep them before the Lord. You still have to be praying for them. And Job was like, you know, just in case they do something wrong, I'm going to offer some sacrifice for them, because they love to party and I just don't know what they might do. And so Job is there interceding for his children. God himself boasted about Job to the devil, verse 8 of chapter 1. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? So God calls him a servant, somebody who's obedient to him. And God is boasting about Job to the devil. Now that most of you know the story, you'll be like, Lord, please don't boast too much about me. And the devil says to God in verse 9, does Job fear you for nothing? In other words, is Job really following you because he loves you or reverences you? Or is it because of all of the stuff that he gets? All of the blessings? All of the fact that his life is going so well? Isn't that the reason why he's following you? And so the Lord decided to prove to the devil that no, that's not the reason. And so the Lord gave the devil permission. But before he could, the devil says, have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? And this gives me an insight into how God functions in my life and in your life. Because this is way back in the Old Testament, how much more in the New. That God put a hedge of protection around his people. The Bible says, the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him. And not only around me personally, but around the things that belong to me. And that's why when I pray, I can pray with lots more authority and let the devil know that whatever is mine is out of bounds to him. My house is out of bounds to the devil. My car is out of bounds to the devil because it's mine. And there's a hedge of protection around it. And so the devil recognized that and said to the Lord, I can't just touch him like that because you have put a hedge of protection around him, around his household, around everything that he has. So basically, the Lord says, okay, verse 12, very well then, everything he has is in your hands. But on the man himself, do not lay a finger. Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. And this scripture shows us that Satan has to get permission even to touch Job way back then. And we see the experience of Job in the following verses where he lost his children, lost his cattle, lost all of his livestock. And had it been 21st century, spirit-filled people would say, must be God's judgment in his life. I mean, clearly this man is in sin. Because, I mean, if you're a good man, why would all those things happen? And it's important for us believers not to have these type of, I don't know, ideas, which are really not always scriptural. Bad things happening to people doesn't mean that it's because they're in sin. It doesn't mean that they're not following God. It doesn't mean that they're not spending time with God. Amen. That movie that we watched a few weeks back, Miracles from Heaven, you know, when that family, when their daughter got that illness, some people in the church were saying something must be wrong in the family, passing judgment. And sometimes we do that because it makes them feel sort of safe and comfortable. But the truth is, there are many things that happen to people that we have no clue. We don't know why. And all we need to do is just say, you know what, I don't know what's happening, but God is good. I don't understand why it's happening, but all I know is that God is good. All I know is that God still loves me and God still loves you. And some things we might only understand when we get into this very presence. I don't understand why this beautiful young lady has had to go through all of this for so much part of her life. I don't understand it. But I know that God still loves you and God is still good. And I know God still uses her to touch lives of many. And so rather than trying to find some nice little formula to make things, you know, to make me understand everything, I just need to realize that there are some things that are way beyond my understanding. Let me just leave it into the counsel of God. And so Job experienced all of these disasters. I put here, he experienced several major losses all at once. Most of us only experience a few at a time. But he experienced several major losses. And I've come to appreciate, the older I get, that there will be losses in life. It's just part of this dispensation. It's part of the fall that things happen and we lose things. And so I've listed some of the losses that we experience in life there. There's one that I didn't mention in my list there, so I'll mention that one first, which is really the loss of freedom. Whether it be just physical freedom or political freedom or social freedom. But many times people experience a loss of freedom in life. Some people end up being incarcerated. Some because of what they have done, some because people accuse them falsely. And they lose their freedom. It's part of what happens in life. Job didn't have that to experience. Or at least he didn't experience that. He experienced a loss of physical resources. All of his cattle. His business, his income. And if you've ever been around someone who has lost their job, a job that they've had for a long time, you understand the grief that they go through. And people have come up with different theories about grief, and there's a 5-stage process of grief, and some others have that 7 stages. And when you have major loss, you go through those stages of grief. I remember several years ago, my sister, you know, she once she finished high school, she started working with a particular bank, a bank that came out of Canada, and she worked with that bank for about 30 years. And that bank allowed her to go to college, and she got her degree. But that was the only place she worked. And one morning she came in to work, only to be told that she was being laid off. They were downsizing. After 30 years of working for this organization. And I remember she called me on the phone. And she's single. She's never been married. And she was in tears. She was in shock, and she was in tears because this was all she ever knew in terms of her income. And those things happen to people. People lose their homes to fire. And no little cliche is going to help them to just feel better immediately. You know? It's just one of those things in life. But I believe as we go through those things, we can experience God. Just as we can experience and understand God through miracles, we can experience and grow and understand who God is through some of the losses. Job experienced a loss of relationship. He lost his loved ones, his children. They tell me that the greatest loss a person can have is the loss of a spouse, especially if you've been married for years. And then come the loss of your children. And I can't even imagine what that is like. To lose a child. Much less to lose all of them just like that. It's beyond words to understand that. I mean, in my family I've lost mother and father. And I've lost 4 brothers. And so in each of those losses, but at least in the terms of the loss of my parents, I've come to appreciate what it means to have God as my father. I've come to understand what it means to totally be dependent upon God for his provision. My mother passed away when I was 17. But I've seen God work in some circumstances where I wish she was there, but instead I had to go to God and experience God. But these things happen in life. We lose loved ones. Sometimes it's not necessarily through death, sometimes it's a loss of a relationship. And things happen and your relationship change. And they're beyond your control. And all you can do sometimes is just to put the thing or the person or the relationship in the hand of God. No amount of binding and loosing solves the issue right there and then on the spot. We have to learn to turn it over to the Lord. Job, before I go on, it says at the end of chapter 1, after Job lost his children and the house and everything, it says, this is Job's response, verse 21, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." And it says in verse 22, "In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing." In other words, Job understood something about God, that God was good. And so Job didn't say, "Lord, how come you're so mean to me? How come you're so wicked to me?" He didn't charge God with any wrongdoing. And you and I, we can look back and we have greater understanding and insights than Job had. Job didn't know that the devil was involved behind the scenes. But you and I, we know, because the Bible tells us. And you and I, we know that we have an enemy. So we have a better understanding when some things happen. And so rather than blaming God, we need to give God thanks for his goodness and his mercy and put the blame where it really lies. That we have an enemy of our soul. Somebody who comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. So Job, the devil wasn't finished with him. I mean, my goodness. I mean, I would have thought just losing your children is enough. Just losing all of your livestock is enough. But the devil was not finished with this man of God, the servant of God. God was still boasting about him because this man maintained his integrity before the Lord. And so the devil came back, and this time he got permission to actually touch Job physically. Because for many of us, you know, if external things happen, we can cope. But Lord, as long as I have my health, I'm all right. But unfortunately, sometimes people lose aspects of their health. And so Job got boils and all sort of stuff on him. He was in serious pain. So much so that his wife says in Job chapter 2 and verse 9, "Are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die." You know, a spouse is a person who most often is closest to you. You'd expect to be the one who'd come and give you some sort of support and encouragement. But instead, his wife said to him, "Just curse God." She wasn't feeling the sickness and the pain that Job was going through. And Job was able to look at her and to call her a foolish woman. In other words, it's foolish, my friends, to curse God. It's foolish to blame God for negative things. It's foolish to believe that God is out to hurt us and to destroy us. It's foolish. And so in the midst of all that, Job could say to this woman, "You talk like one of those foolish women." Shall we not accept good from God and not trouble? In all this, it says, Job did not sin in what he said. So he lost his health. He lost emotional support. The wife who was supposed to support him wasn't there. Eventually his friends came, and after a while he even lost their support. That sometimes is worse than experiencing actual physical loss. At least if there's somebody there to stand with you, Somebody you can lean your hands upon your shoulders. That person can help you through. But when those people leave you, then you feel totally, totally abandoned. I don't know what this does to your theology. I know it's not the type of message you want to jump and shout about. And praise God, most of the time, at least I've never met anybody who's been through all that Job has been through. They've only usually been through one or two. But we have come to realize that these things happen in life. And Ecclesiastes, the writer, says that there's a time for everything under the sun. Job lost social status in the midst of all of that because now people are starting to criticize him. Now they're starting to say there must be something wrong in his life. Chapter 30 says even the young people now start to mock him and ridicule him. You couldn't be walking with God. I knew you were a sinner. I knew there were things in your life you weren't dealing with. No wonder God has to deal with you that way. When I was a younger person, it was easier to believe that you'll always be healthy and strong. But as you get older, you realize that, you know, you don't recover as quickly. And, you know, you're more prone to certain things. Some of the other losses that are not necessarily there for Job, but as I was going through this, I realized this should really be a series. I mean, because each one of these losses, there are different ways to respond. So, but I know many of you are, you know, big thinkers and you understand stuff. So if I just dealt with one, you're going to say, but he forgot about this and he forgot about this. So I've listed some other things there. The loss of opportunity or loss of time. That's what Caleb and Joshua experienced. The loss of opportunity. They had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years because of these unbelieving people. That can be very frustrating. And they could be saying, Lord, I mean, why don't you just kill them and just allow the rest of us to go through? Why do we have to wait for 40 years? But that's part of what happens sometimes in life. Some decision you should have made here didn't make, and you lose the opportunity. Sometimes in the midst of all that, people lose hope and expectation. I was thinking about Elijah in this situation where Elijah just killed all the prophets of Baal, and he was anticipating that at least Jezebel would recognize that there is a God in heaven. And at least perhaps, even if she was to acknowledge that and sort of step back, he was expecting that, but instead Jezebel said to him, listen, by this time tomorrow you're a dead man. I mean, this prophet who has experienced so much of God, he had a certain expectation that was not met, and he ended up being discouraged, which led really and truly to depression. And if Elijah could go through that, then friends, you and I are prone to similar things. And why these things are important is because if we live in denial, then we don't realize what's happening until it ends up being far down the line. When we realize it can happen, it's easier for us to catch it and get help. And so Elijah ended up in depression because of what was happening. And he did some things wrong, and that's why I said we really need to make it into a series. He had a loss of security. He now felt vulnerable because this woman was going to come for him. And when Jezebel says she's coming, she's serious. Yeah. Jezebel is not bluffing. You know, she's not just talking hot here. If Jezebel says you're dead, you better leave town. And you'd have thought the man of God that said, well, let's get it on. But he understood that when Jezebel is coming, she's not coming by herself. She's coming with the entire army to come and get him. And so there's a loss of security. If somebody breaks into your house, you experience a loss of security. You feel vulnerable. If you have been violated in your person, you feel vulnerable. And that can cause fear to come into your life. Then there is what I put here, a loss of connection with God. Sometimes, you know, Lord is always there, but sometimes you just don't feel that connection. Sometimes as if he's distant. Sometimes it's because we haven't waited enough on him. The scripture I have there is the scripture of Samson. You know, Samson took some things for granted. God told him that the sign of the covenant is your hair. Keeping your hair long, the sign of the covenant, and as long as you're abiding by the sign of the covenant, the anointing will be upon your life. And Samson took it for granted and he eventually told Delilah the secret, and Delilah got his hair cut, and the Bible says he ran out as before, expecting God to be there, but God wasn't. And so he ended up becoming a prisoner. And so there are times when we can run out there expecting God to come and back us up, but we haven't stopped to listen to the Lord. And we can end up being disappointed. So we have all these different losses we can experience in life. And they sometimes hit us unexpectedly. Sometimes we can anticipate them. A friend of mine from Florida called me this last week. His father had been ailing for about 2 years, and his father eventually passed away. And so they could have sort of anticipated it. The different times they thought he was going to go on a call in a hospice, and he came back around. And then this time he eventually went home to be with the Lord. So sometimes you can anticipate it, but it still is going to be a loss. And there are some losses that you can learn to live with. A loss for a loved one, for example. While some losses just become a springboard to other things. For my sister, her job that she lost, she went through a time of grief for a while. But it eventually became an opportunity for her. And so she went back to school and became an attorney at law. And is practicing law right now in Jamaica. So what was a time of grief and loss, because of her faith in God and because of the desire in her heart, she was able to use it to become a time of growth. So rather than getting stuck in this place of loss, wherever you might be in that grief process, some people end up being stuck and therefore not being able to grow as God would want them to grow. She was able to use the opportunity to grow. So Job, when he experienced all of this loss, he could decide if he's going to stay there and grieve and mourn, or if he's going to allow the Lord to work in him and through him in the circumstances. And so what did Job do? His first response is there, which I read before in Job chapter 1 and verse 20. It says that this, after all of this stuff happened, which seemed like natural disasters, the tornadoes, fire coming down from above, which perhaps is, I don't know if it's lightning or if it's some sort of asteroid or something, whatever it was. The fact is, he has lost everything. And he could have just said, you know, I'm done serving God. Some people do that. A friend of mine did that for a while. Her brother was killed. And so she decided she is not going to serve God anymore. Alas, after a while she came to her senses and came back to the Lord. Realized that it's still better to walk with God through your tragedy than to try and walk it through by yourself. And so verse 20 of chapter 1 says, "At this Job got up, tore his robe, shaved his head, then he fell to the ground in worship." He fell to his knees in worship. Friends, God is always worthy of worship. No matter what we're going through, we might not understand it. It might even be as a result of our own actions. God is still worthy of worship. And we should never, ever be ashamed to let somebody know, I'm still going to serve the Lord. I'm still going to praise him. Job went on to say, "Though he slay me, yet will I praise him." I don't understand why these things are happening. I don't understand why this has happened to me. But you know what? I know that God is good and He's worthy to be praised. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. I know that only that, but I know my future is secure. This life, my friends, is just temporary. A few short years in comparison to eternity. Job went on to acknowledge the fact that God is sovereign. He says, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away." God is sovereign. God can do whatever He wants to do because that's part of what makes Him God. If He wants to allow me to experience some hardship, that's all right. He's still God. So with that, we need to get the right perspective and not blame God for wrongdoing, but rather to give God praise. Rather to lift our voices and to declare that He's still good. Job went on to put his trust in the Lord. You know, his friends came and initially they sat with him for 7 days, which is part of what we need to do when people are going through grief. It's to learn to just be there. They call it the ministry of presence, just to be present. You don't have to say a word. Just to be around them, just to support them. When I lost my mother, that was the greatest comfort, was just to have somebody around. I don't need to hear any pat phrases. I don't need to hear any scripture. All I need is somebody to be around. I don't need any more prophecies. All I need is for people to just be there. And so Job learned to trust in the Lord because only God can intervene and give us the comfort and the inner touch that we need, the healing that we need. Because sometimes when they go through these things, we need to be healed in the inner man. Paul says, God is the one who what? Causes all things to work together for good to them that love Him and are called according to His purposes. And so the fact He's going to cause these things to work together for good means that right now they look bad. Right now they look challenging. I don't understand how He's going to do it, but I know because of my faith and my trust in Him that He's going to cause all of this to work together for good. Out of my mother's early death, it helped me to draw closer to God and to be able to hear God for myself. And no, I hope people don't take this wrongly, but no, when people are struggling with their loved ones in the later years trying to figure out, should we put her in a home or not? I don't have to worry about that. Yeah, I don't have to worry about that. It's not a decision that my siblings and I have to discuss because she's already gone to be with the Lord. We don't have to sit there. But what happens when she reaches 80? Well, what happens if this home is not nice? We don't have to worry about that. Others have to. So God will cause good to come out of these negative circumstances if we put our faith and our trust in Him. I can't tell you how many people have been encouraged just by Bethany. People see her and they see the smile on her face and they are complaining and their health is good and life is good for them and they are complaining and they realize, why am I complaining? At a conference we went to, I think I mentioned this before, Bethany was moving around praying for people. In the middle of worship, she's moving around praying for people. And before you know it, Bethany is praying for Heidi Baker. Heidi Baker's down on her face praying, because that's how she functions. And Bethany comes up and is praying for Heidi Baker. She doesn't know who she's praying for. So, despite the limitations, if we press through, God will still use us to touch the lives of others. And you might not be able to explain things, why this, but I don't know. All I know is that God is good and God wants to touch your life. And so Heidi, when she went up, was thanking Princess Bethany for praying for her. So trust in the Lord. Continue in obedience. Job 23. And verse 8 says, but if I go to the east, he's not there. In other words, he's trying to find God in the midst of what he's going through. If I go to the west, I do not find him. When he's at work in the north, I do not see him. When he turns to the south, I catch no glimpse of him. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. Verse 11, my feet have closely followed his steps. I've kept his way without turning aside. I've not departed from the commandments of from the commands of his lips. I've treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread. What a confession. Despite what I'm going through, I'm following him. Despite what I've experienced, God is still good. I'm still going to be obedient to him. And when he's done with me, he's going to find me as pure gold. What a testimony. And so he says he's going to continue in obedience. He's going to continue to confess the truth of God's word. I like this scripture from Jeremiah. Jeremiah 29. Israel, the people of God, have been taken into captivity. Things look bleak. They've been taken into exile. This is the word of the Lord to them in verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. That's the word of the Lord to you and to me. Despite what I'm going through, God's plans are to give me a hope and a future. He doesn't plan to destroy me, but instead he wants to show me his goodness in the midst of all sort of negative circumstances. Verse 12 says, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And so God is saying in the midst of whatever we are going through, we can experience him, we can find him. And so you and I, we can learn to affirm the fact that God is with me. Even though he might seem far, he's still here. We can affirm his presence. We can affirm his goodness. We can affirm, as we sang earlier, who we are in the Lord, that we are still children of God, and I'll not give way to fear. I don't know how it's going to work out, but I know that I have a Father who loves me more than I even love myself. Amen. And so I can put my faith and my trust in him. I'm going to ask Sean to come on back. There are a couple more things that we can do, or should do. Paul says in Corinthians 12 that there was given to him a thorn in the flesh. And I don't know what a thorn in the flesh was, but one thing I do know, Paul says, it was something from the devil. He said it was a messenger of Satan. And he prayed for it to be removed, and God's word to him was, my grace is sufficient. In other words, there are some times and some circumstances we need to say, Lord, strengthen me in the midst of this. I don't understand what's going on, but I need your grace. I need your strength. Until I come through, Lord, strengthen me. Help me, O God, that every word of my mouth will bring glory and honor to your name. Job went through times of questioning the Lord, and the Lord asked him some questions, and Job realized, you know what? I don't even know what I'm talking about. The Lord says, were you there when I, you know, established the world? And you realize that our understanding of how God works is so limited. But at the end of it all, Job 42 verse 1, it says, then Job replied to the Lord, I know you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted. You ask, who is this that obscures my counsel without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, listen now and I will speak. I will question you and you shall answer me. Job says, my ears have heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. Job realized that some of the things he was even saying about God wasn't accurate. He got a greater revelation of God, a God who still brought him through. And yes, he couldn't get back the children that he lost, but God still restored some of the stuff that he lost. But even if God didn't, he was still going to praise him. He was still going to magnify his name. He was going to still see a new revelation of what God is like. Let us stand. It's important for us as a people of God to really and truly believe that no matter what we're going through, God is good. No matter what we're experiencing, God has some good plans for your life. It's important for us to understand that God loves us despite what we might experience and to realize we have an enemy who comes to kill and to steal and to destroy. And if people or circumstances become negative, just be like the apostles and to still give God praise. In the middle of the night, the apostles Silas and Paul gave praise to God, worship God, magnify his name. I don't understand it, but I do know it is good. I don't know how he's going to work it out. My friend, this pastor from Jamaica who was shot on his back and has been paralyzed since 1997. Every time I meet that man, there's a smile on his face because of God's goodness. All of his children, three children, are all serving the Lord and very zealous for God. All of them have done well. His daughter got scholarship to go to Princeton University. All because this man of God, despite his circumstances, would give God praise, would still honor his name. And so God wants us, you and me, no matter what we lose, no matter what losses we experience, to grow through it, to see the revelation of God in the midst of whatever it is. To look beyond the thing and to see a God who loves you. To look beyond the thing and see a God who's intervened in your life and in your circumstances. And to realize if you still have breath to praise him. If we still have breath to give him honor and glory. Because what? Do you know what we really deserve? We deserve death. But anything we get beyond that is God's goodness and God's grace and God's mercy. Let us bow our heads this morning. Maybe there's somebody in this house. Maybe you walked away from the Lord. And this morning you're saying, Joe Campbell, I want to recommit myself to the Lord. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand right where you're standing. Anybody in this house? Keep that hand up. Somebody's coming to you. Anybody else? You need to recommit yourself to the Lord this morning. I want us to be in groups of twos and threes. And I want us to pray for each other. Because no matter where we go in life, there are going to be losses. And I want us to pray that in the midst of whatever we might lose, we might see God. And that we might confess the truth of God's word. That God is good. That God loves us. That God still cares for us. That this too, God is going to turn into good. He's going to work it into good. He's going to cause it to work together for good. Let's just pray one for another. And perhaps if you're going through something now and you feel free enough to share it, and you can share it so we can pray and stand with you. But you don't have to share. Where I'm changed.
place, Lord, to that secret place where I can be with you. You can make me like you. Wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms. Take me to that place, Lord, to that secret place where I can be with you. Take me to that place, oh, to that secret place where I can be with you. You can make me like you. Wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms. There is a God
Let's just sing this song.
And that is a place where I'm changed. Yes, I'm changed. That is where I belong. Take me to that place, Lord, to that secret place where I can be with you. You can make me like you. Wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms. Take me to that place, Lord, to that secret place where I can be with you. You can make me like you. There is a God who loves me. Yes, He loves me. Who wraps me in His arms. And that is a place where I've changed. Yes, I've changed. That is where I belong. Take me to that place, Lord, to that secret place where I can be with you. You can make me like you. Wrap me in your arms. Take me to that place, Lord, to that secret place where I can be with you. You can make me like you. Wrap me in your arms. 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 Wrap me, oh Lord, Lord, Wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms.
Father God, this morning we give you thanks. That Lord, no matter what we go through, that Lord, your plans for us are to give us a hope and a future. Your plans for us, oh God, are good plans, oh God. Lord, we thank you, God, in the midst of whatever we might go through, that Lord, you're there with us. Lord, like the Apostle Paul, when no one would stand with him, Lord, you still stood by him. And so, Lord, this day, oh God, we can affirm that you are God who stands by your children. Lord, I pray for those who are going through the stages of grief, those who have lost significant things or significant ones in their lives. Lord, relationships or whatever it might be, that Father God, they might experience your undergirding, they might experience your love. Lord, they might experience your grace this day. Father God, that in the midst of it, oh God, that they might see you at work. That Father, they might open their eyes to get a greater revelation of what it means to have you nearby. That Father, they might be able to hear your voice even more clearly than ever before. That Father, they might sense, oh God, that your presence being with them. Father God, we give you thanks for your goodness and your grace to each and every one of us. And Father, as we go throughout this week, oh God, I pray that we might have on our lips, oh God, a word of encouragement to share with others. That Lord, our speech may be seasoned as it were with salt to give grace to the hearers. Lord, a word of encouragement to those that we encounter. Lord, a word to direct people towards the God whom we serve. Lord, may our lives be so saturated with the love of God that people might be drawn to the God whom we serve. Lord, we give you thanks for all of your many blessings. But Lord, beyond all of that, Lord, we give you thanks for salvation. We thank you, God, that our future is secure in you. That, Lord, the things of this life are all temporary. Lord, you give and you take. We came into this world with nothing, and we shall leave here with nothing. But one thing we know for sure is where we are going when we leave this place. And so, Lord God, we thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. I shall never, ever lose its power. Thank you, O God, for salvation. Lord, we give you praise in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said, and amen. The Lord